From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. Whole new day. Lots and lots to talk about on both sides of the ball. I'm joined today. Chris has taken a day off, but we got Seth and he's available. It's so nice.
Yeah. Hey, man. How you doing? Life treating you well?
Yeah. I'm trying to get over this cold and hopefully I'm sounding better, but you know, making progress.
It's so cold in Minnesota today that court was canceled.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Court.
I didn't know that was a legal thing that you could do. But apparently it is.
I'm guessing there's an appeal based on that happening tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess. You know, people are not going to be thrilled about it. But yeah, they're wind chills as low as 75 below zero are expected.
Good Lord. Okay. This is why I live in Colorado.
65. I exaggerated.
How dare you? Oh, I exaggerate about a lot of things, but we have to start because one thing I didn't exaggerate about is just how good Anthony Sherman can be. Because this Pro Bowl belonged to him.
Oh, man.
Come on!
Hey, I like Sherman. I like Sherman a lot. I think anytime he has been asked to do stuff, he's generally done a very good job. And so I definitely like Sherman. You will never find a more pro-Sherman person than me, except you. And so what I mean by that is you'll never find a more reasonable pro-Sherman person.
I would clone that guy and play 11 of them.
I know you would, man. And look, I like Sherman just fine. I thought it was awesome how involved they got him into things. And so that was cool. You know, I mean, obviously no one can outshine MV Pat, but that's life. Did you see the video clip of Sherman and Fisher reacting when Mahomes got named the MVP of the game?
Yeah.
What? Wow. Wow. And they just, it's fun though watching the teammates. I mean, Mahomes has definitely, he is the guy. He is the guy in that locker room. He is the guy with the Pro Bowlers. He is the guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty unprecedented. And I will say just before we get talking about him, I don't know if you caught the comment at the tail end of, Tyreek's interview, but Patrick wants to get Sherman more involved in the offense. And I think that's something that really has to happen.
I think it proves that you were right all along.
I think so. Andy, I have a couple of wrinkles I would love to run past you. So just let me know.
All of them involve 8 offensive linemen.
No. I'm all for splitting him out. I'm all for doing all kinds of things.
Splitting offensive linemen out? No, I'm kidding.
Sherman himself.
I know. I think Sherman can do all kinds of stuff. I think he's a talented player. Unfortunately, he's just a little slow.
Yeah, a little bit. That's fair.
But he's
a grinder.
But he's reliable. He'll be where you need him to be. And I mean, he's come through. I mean, crud, he was like the feature back for Mahomes' first start. So there you go.
I know, right? And that's a relationship you'll never be able to break. And that's why I think Mahomes is so set on putting him in.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, there's got to be more to spread around, right? Because I think what the Pro Bowl showed you is that Pat, it will not be limited in any way, whether it's his own teammates or
not. Yeah. Well, whether he's throwing to his guy, Eric Ebron, or whether he's.
Right.
So did you watch the whole Pro Bowl? I only watched until Mahomes left the game.
See, that's what Chris did, and I didn't get to see it live at all, so I ran through it on condensed and watched the whole thing.
Nice. I just couldn't, you know, and look, it was raining, it was just, you know, I mean, you want to talk about, you want to see guys not try, add rain to the Pro Bowl. And I mean, and they were just having fun, and then Juju messed up a no-look pass. That was a really funny, clip. You could just see him like, holy crap! Like, it was, it was good stuff. But what was cool to me watching, you can see how much Mahomes belongs. And I mean this in the nicest way possible to Alex Smith. And I like Alex Smith. I spent years defending him. You know that. But in past years, during the Pro Bowl, you'd have like, you know, Andrew Luck or Phil Rivers or Tom Brady or whoever play, right? And then Alex Smith would come in. And you could see the difference.
Yep.
You could. And Mahomes, again, he's a perfectly decent quarterback, but you could see the difference between him and the best at the position. Whereas you watched Mahomes, Had they let Mahomes play with that type of defense all day, the AFC would have put up 70 points. Yeah. You know, you could just see it. And I mean, and so that's, it's so much fun to watch. And it's just such a cool thing. Every time I watch Mahomes, I'm just like, I cannot believe that is the Chiefs quarterback. I cannot believe it.
Well, and I got to say, I was one who I had him number two behind Watson, I have to say. And it was nice to see that he actually tweeted out that picture.
Yeah.
With he and Trubisky and Watson. I thought that was a nice thing. Pat's clearly the best of them at this point, but I was one that even then I had him as 1B behind Watson. And I was, you know, I thought it would take a while, certainly more time than it has, to iron out his delivery a little bit more, to work on his footwork. And now when I read all these famous takeaways that everybody's putting up of people who are his detractors pre-draft, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, I had it all wrong, because I thought it was going to take time to fix him or standardize him. And now I see that it's his uniqueness that has changed his whole offensive line and the whole offense together, and is soon to change this whole league.
I don't think it's a coincidence that you saw, what's his name, Drew Locke, try like this underhanded throw during the Senior Bowl. He is literally redefining what people thought quarterbacks could get away with, in a way that I think the last guy to do it like to this extreme might have been maybe Brett Favre. But even then, then it was just Favre was more, I mean, he was more of a risk taker. He was more of a, but it was still traditionally done.
Pocket a simple rollout. It wasn't this creative. Yeah.
The creativeness, the creativity, the willing to do anything weird. This is like the type of shift. This is like a Mike Vick at quarterback type shift, where people are like, oh wait, you can have a quarterback who plays that way and still win a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the only thing though, the problem for teams following up with that is that there's only one Mike Vick. Now, like Lamar Jackson looks like he might be close to the athlete Vick was. That dude can scoot. But even him, Vick was literally the best athlete on the field every time. I mean, he could have played running back or receiver easily. And Lamar Jackson arguably could too. You know, don't blow me up, Draft Twitter, for saying that he could. I'm not saying he should. You know, I don't want anyone to come in here and yell at me, you know.
I'll handle the yelling at Seth, people.
Yes, yeah. So my one concern is, you know, I think for other teams, you're going to see people try to imitate what Mahomes does. But, they're not Pat Mahomes. You need to have unique arm talent and training to do the things that he does.
Yeah. I mean, I can drive my car. I'm sorry. I drive a diesel. I can drive my truck 120 miles an hour, but still not a Ferrari. You know?
Yes. Exactly. You're bound to run into trouble eventually if you drive that truck for 120 for too long. It's not designed for it. Whereas Mahomes is designed to play the quarterback position unlike anything we've ever seen. It's not to say he's perfect.
Right, because there are a couple of drawbacks, right? And I'd like to know what they are.
Well, I'm glad you asked, but I think we need to pay some bills first. But right after that, I'll walk you through a few things, because it just so happens, Ryan, that I wrote an athletic. I was so eager to do the plug that I misspoke there. I wrote an article on theathletic.com, which you can subscribe to for very low, low prices. Something like, you know, end up like $3, $4.
Low.
Yeah. Low. I wrote about this, the things that I think Patrick Mahomes needs to improve on, not need. So, but I'll get into that, what I mean by need and what they are right after this.
Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games this year. Not this year when the 53rd Super Bowl is right around the corner. It is really the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win, ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props in the business. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. We trust them, but you don't have to take our word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON25. At MyBookie, you play, you win, and you get paid.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com.
So, Ryan, what if I told you that Patrick Mahomes is not perfect?
People around me would say you're nuts, and I would nod my head along and go, wait, I got a couple of those things too, pal.
And that, so I wanted to write an article. I'm obviously going to be writing a few different big picture film reviews about Patrick Mahomes this offseason. And one of them, the very first one that actually went up yesterday, is the things that he needs to improve on. Now, again, when I say needs to improve on, Patrick Mahomes, if he played at this exact skill level for the rest of his career, he would go down as one of the best quarterbacks in history, in my opinion. Now, you know, if he played for 10, 15 years, played at this exact skill level. However, if he did everything exactly the same, he would see a decrease in his results in future years as defenses figured him out a little bit. And so I wrote about some of the things that he could improve on to become. Mahomes has the talent to end up in the GOAT conversation. Now, Tom Brady is making that tough the longer he plays. You know, Brady, if he keeps doing this for like another 5 years, he's going to end up in that Jerry Rice category.
I have no idea who we're talking about.
Where. Anyway, here's the deal. There are a few things that Mahomes could do better. Most things he's elite at. Most things he is one of the best five quarterbacks in the league at. And that's what makes him so special is there's a ton of things he's in that category. However, there's one weakness in particular and then a couple other ones to a lesser extent that I wrote about here. So I was curious what you think about these, Ryan. First one, and again, you can look at this stuff in detail with, you know, pretty, pretty videos at theathletic.com. Yeah, pretty, pretty videos. Anyway, one thing is blitz recognition and adjustment. The pre-snap reads. Now, we saw him doing more and more of it as the year went along, but even as recently as the AFC Championship, you would see snaps where guys got through and there wasn't a hot read ready. There wasn't a blocker there. That sort of thing. Now, that's going to happen sometimes, right? Because defensive coordinators have jobs for a reason. However, in my opinion, with Mahomes, you could see why the most successful personnel and defense against him was cover zero, aggressive blitz, press man across the board. And the reason for that is Mahomes isn't quite there pre-snap to adjust everything necessary to get the ball exactly where things will be vacated. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'll take it a step further, too, because I think it all boils down to him and Andy kind of settling into their groove too much, realizing how special the plays are when he breaks the pocket, et cetera. And those teams that did press him like that, they took away what he can do early. By having that particular kind of press, or not even press, but a close enough man, that it allowed him to further slip into what I think one of his main tendencies is to just elongate the play, sometimes unnecessarily, and that allows pressure to get home.
Absolutely. And that can combine with, if in your pre-snap read, you've got to identify every potential blitz, and you've got to tell your linemen and receivers, if this, then that. That has got to be part of it. And that's an Andy Reid thing, too. And I don't think, because here's the thing. Teams did not have much success playing man coverage or blitzing a lot against Alex Smith. That was, like, and isn't it interesting? The most successful thing a team could do last season against Alex Smith was play zone coverage with some form of zone blitz, still rushing fourth play zone. Against Mahomes, only rushing fourth, that's the kiss of death.
Right.
You're going to get diced up. However, had teams try, hey, we're going to come in, we're going to blitz the house against Alex Smith and play a ton of man, he would have diced that up. Mm-hmm. because he would have known exactly where to put guys. And again, I'm not saying Mahomes is bad at this. I'm saying that is the only, that's something you can only learn with experience. And I agree with you that I think Andy Reid is culpable in that. I think they fell into a little bit too much of a rhythm, especially against Belichick. And they thought that their game plan, they thought they were too good to be slowed down. And Belichick proved them wrong.
I agree.
And the Patriots, they came in there with an aggressive game plan. Chiefs wide receivers weren't ready to get mugged at the line, and they should have been. They should have been ready for that. And so that's something Mahomes will need to improve on next year. That pre-snap reads and recognition. Again, that's something that takes time. That takes years. And I think he was better at it than most first-year starters.
Oh, I agree with you.
But I want to, and I think, I don't know about you, but did you notice, like, as the year went along, you saw more and more pre-snap stuff from Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I anticipate that's what he'll be working on. Because I promise you one thing. The first week of the season, I don't care who the opponent is, odds are, now there's no guarantees in this, odds are you're going to see a ton of blitzes and a ton of aggressive stuff up front and a ton of aggressive man coverage because they want to prove that Mahomes can beat it. Now, the thing for that will be recognizing it pre-snap and having guys run different rub routes, stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you that, but also I think that they both, because of what the payoff could be, I think they both abandoned the deliberate short game. When you have guys like Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce, you should be slanting people that are going to press you all day long. And mm-hmm. I don't think either of them want to do that. They certainly didn't do it enough for my liking, but I think it's a want to, not that they weren't able to. I don't think they put it in the plan.
I could agree with that. It doesn't seem like they were quite ready for it. And they need to, and you know, every year that he's with Mahomes, as much as I think Andy Reid trusted Mahomes, I'm sure that the offense wasn't the full version. Every year that they're together, much like with Alex Smith, you're going to see expanded stuff. And so I think they'll be working on that this offseason, but that's something they need to focus on because that's one thing. You do not want defenses to have a plan that they think can work. And so they're going to want to work on that because they've got the horses to separate quickly in Hill, Watkins, and Kelce. Now it's just a matter of making sure that you're using them effectively.
Yeah.
The other two things really quickly, because we can't spend the whole time talking about Mahomes. The fact is that occasionally Mahomes is sloppy with his footwork in two different ways. One is taking bigger steps in the pocket. He'll sometimes, when he drops back 5 or 7 steps, you can tell he drops back farther than what Schwartz and Fisher are anticipating.
Are prepared for, right.
Yep. And so that leads to pressure. And then he usually backs up farther rather than dropping into the pocket. It leads to immediate pressure where there doesn't need to be. And sometimes when he's stepping up into the pocket, he takes too big a steps. The reality is Texas Tech, they played their tackles unbelievably wide. They played with a huge pocket. And so he was able to move all over the place. Plus their line sucked. And so he had to move giant steps everywhere. Mm-hmm. He still is working on disciplining his footwork in that respect. Now, is he still better in pocket presence than the vast majority of quarterbacks? Absolutely. Absolutely. I would put his pocket presence against all but maybe the best 4 or 5 in the NFL.
That's fair.
You know,
but it's something he can definitely improve.
Absolutely. I want him. I would love for him to. And again, I know this is a quarterback. You don't know who he is, but there's this Tom Brady guy. Mahomes should study how he moves in the pocket because sometimes you have to barely move. And that's something that you can sense or you can't. We know Mahomes can sense it. So now it's just a matter of executing it with a little less big. The other thing is the platform. He's generally a very accurate passer, but everyone knows every now and then he doesn't set his feet when he could, and it causes him to overthrow receivers. He's such a freak that he doesn't underthrow.
Right, which would be a normal quarterback, folks.
right. But he overcompensates. And that, you know, like the Damian Williams missed touchdown against New England.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a few like that this year. Now, again, he's an accurate down the field passer, but this is why he's a good long ball passer, not a great one.
Well, and I'll tell you the other thing that I noticed too, is not only does it take long steps, but once he starts and he's hit his depth, and he does have to go forward again. I don't think he likes to climb all the way back into the pocket and get tight. But more so, after he takes that step with the first lead leg, I noticed as the season went on that the follow-up leg got too close, and it narrowed his base. And I think that was why some of the deep balls, again, went off target because he didn't keep his feet wide enough when he could just stay in the pocket.
Yep. I could completely agree with that. And again, we need to clarify, because otherwise, you know, people are going to be like, why are you guys hating on Mahomes? Mahomes is still excellent with pocket presence, still excellent at moving around. He is just not as elite in these areas that we're talking about as he is everywhere else, right? I mean, that's, you're talking about the difference between perfection and really, really good.
Well, and we're talking about taking a quarterback that is elite and making him the greatest.
Yeah, we're talking, Patrick Mahomes was arguably the best quarterback in the NFL last year. And I would say most arguments that you have with that, you probably win. Mm-hmm. However, he has things that he could get a little better about. And that's what the focus of that. And if he does, and now here's the thing, this will be the interesting thing. That first season, second season, he was awesome. Now we get to see, is it all legit? All the things he says about what he believes about work ethic, about getting better, about why he loves football, all the things to learn, all the things to improve. Now we get to see if that's legit. Because I got to tell you, it's going to take a very special type of person to grind this offseason after the type of season Patrick Mahomes just had.
Agreed. And honestly, we found out the other day, they don't expect Alex Smith to play this season.
Yeah, hey, that's such an unfortunate thing.
Go to Alexandria, Patrick. Go sit in his living room and go over film. That's the best way you can spend your summer.
That would be, and you know, maybe Alex would be willing to do it. Maybe he wouldn't. Who knows? But you can ask.
Yeah.
You can say, hey, you can ask the Redskins, hey, can I pay this guy to be a consultant?
Right.
Because I'll tell you, I think Alex Smith one day would make a tremendous coach and a tremendous quarterbacks coach. And I just think whether it's with him or with Kafka, whoever, which, you know, you can't always meet with your coaches, and I get that. But this will be what we see when Mahomes shows up this next year will be really interesting. Because if he's the exact same player, hey, whatever. That's still an MVP caliber player, still a great quarterback, still every, but that'll at least let you know, okay, this is who maybe we can expect.
Yeah.
But he can, if he is the worker that he says he is and has been so far, he could come back even better next year.
I'm with you. And do you agree that I think he needs to do more mentally than he does physically?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I think working on, you know, timing and that kind of stuff with your receivers, I think absolutely. And then, you know, the footwork stuff, I think that's something he needs to work on. And so I'm hoping he's the type of guy that'll hire a private quarterback coach and say, hey, these are the things I need to work on. Let's leave my release alone. Let's leave my delivery alone. No need for that. Let's just work on my footwork. But here's the thing that tells me that he'll do that. His footwork now, as compared to his footwork last year, it's not night and day, but it's way better.
It is dramatic.
And that's a lot about Patrick Mahomes. I feel like that. I think we did our contractual obligations for how long to talk about Mahomes.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, I think we got one more break to take, and then I think you got some stuff to tell me about the defense, don't you, Ryan?
Tell and ask. Let's get into it.
All right.
Okay. So my favorite topic is now really the biggest construction job this team has had since Derek Thomas passed. So I am torn because I feel like there are better athletes on the field when you play a 3-4, just as a principle. But I'm excited because I feel like Spagnuolo is aggressive enough. He's anti-Sutton enough that I'm excited for what's going to happen. But there are some holes. A lot of people are projecting that this is just going to be a plug and play, put the Chiefs' current players into positions on this 4-3 defense. And I see a couple of definite holes. How do you feel about that transition?
I think that you can plug and play. I think you can. Given the certain talent they have, although I think there's at least one linebacker spot that's up for grabs. However, I think it's unlikely that's the plan. I would be stunned if that were the plan. I think you can put, you know, D Ford at a certain spot. I think Chris Jones and Nnadi are great fits. I think those two are great fits. I think Dorian O'Daniel's a great fit. I think Anthony Hitchens is a great fit. I think all their secondary that they want to keep, that's fine. I do think Justin Houston can certainly play the role of a Sam linebacker. I also think he can play the role of the strong side or weak side defensive end. Mm-hmm. Either one, any of those is fine. But there, it's not quite as plug and play, I think, as people believe it is.
I'm concerned because I don't think Sam is a good use of Justin Houston because of the volume of coverage that the Sam generally has to play. But beyond that, we have to remember that while I don't think it's going to be as dramatic as with Sutton, this team's still going to play a ton of nickel and dime. So we're still looking at that spread four-man front, much like they've played. So let me ask you this. If that's not the best thing for Justin Houston and you do end up keeping him, whether it's at a restructured contract or not, do you keep him as a two-down player?
No.
Okay.
Justin Houston isn't a two-down player. He was one of the best defenders on the defense last year. In multiple games, he was the best defender on the defense. I think if they plan on keeping Justin Houston, they got to really seriously ask themselves if they want to keep D Ford. Mm-hmm. Because if they, let's say, you know, because there are multiple things that you can do in terms of the strong side defensive end. Yep. There are plenty of guys who can play that spot. Now, not a ton of them that are great, but there are guys that can play that spot. It's not quite as glamorous a spot. I get all that. But I mean, here's one theory. I mean, if you are going to keep Houston at a restructured deal or whatever, then I think you got to seriously consider letting Ford walk, have Houston play Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And
folks,
try to.
Leo is the rush end. Yep. Generally a speed rush end on the weak side of the formation.
Yep. Now, generally a speed rush end. And that's one reason why it looks like Ford's such a perfect fit for it. And so this isn't a perfect plan, I'll grant you. And then you can maybe bring in like an Anthony Barr to play that Sam linebacker spot, which is pretty perfect for his skill set.
Yep.
On the flip side, what you could also do, and you know, and I've talked to people about this, I like the talent that they have. And to me, when you're trying to make a bad defense good, getting rid of some of your best talent is not a great idea. And so I personally would not have a problem with them trying to hang on to everyone that they have in terms of talent and then trying to add to that. So try out Ford at the Leo spot, see how he does, and then play Houston, rotate him between the strong defensive end and the Sam linebacker, however you want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can bring in a part-time player to handle the coverage responsibilities at Sam. That's one possibility, but that does complicate things in terms of personnel.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you in trying to make the pieces fit because I feel like both Ford and Houston play better together. And you're right. The prototypical Leo's a speed guy, much like Ford is, but Ford doesn't set the edge as well, and that's what Houston does so well. And when you're the last man on the line of scrimmage on the weak side, you have to set that edge. So I think they're a mix and match, and maybe they continue to flip flop. Maybe they go into a NASCAR package and you can stand them both up when you get into the nickel or whatever. I agree with you about O'Daniel. Hitchens isn't going anywhere because of his contract. I'm not convinced. And the one thing that I do want to see is how much Spagnuolo wants to go to like a Tampa type cover two, because I know he's going to play some cover two, but I think Hitchens probably can play the middle backer fine. It's just if he has to get 15 yards deep on coverage, I find that suspect. Certainly, Ragland can't do that. Ragland is a downhill player. But let me ask you this. Would you put Hitchens at Sam and roll the dice with Ragland because he can be that more take-on guy in the middle, whereas I still feel like Hitchens is probably overwhelmed by some of the guards?
Man, I would be really hesitant about Ragland in that role. Now, it depends. If I were to find out tomorrow that Ragland was struggling with injury all year last year, or this last year, however you want to phrase it, then maybe. But man, he just looked a step slow.
I won't argue with you. I will say this though: the last three contests, I thought he looked markedly better, and he started making plays in the pass game.
Yeah, he did a little bit better. I'm super nervous about Ragland and Hitchens. I watched him play significantly better in a 43 setup. Now, not necessarily a 43 under, although it was at times in Dallas. I saw him handle the coverage responsibilities there well, because he was never asked to cover people in man, or not never, but really rarely. And he was more than capable of getting 10, 15 yards deep, just so long as the defined role was clear. And I think that's a real problem that he had in Sutton's system. And so I personally wouldn't mind him being in that middle spot, and then having O'Daniel, or even having him even be in the Sam spot. The problem is then you're covering tight ends. And so that middle spot, I don't have a problem with Hitchens taking on guards as long as the role is, again, clear. I think he can do it. I just think he was being asked to read and react. And, you know, when guards got to him while he was in read and react mode, it didn't work out. Because I saw Raglan get manhandled by guards too. And you know Raglan's strong.
Yeah.
And so,
exactly.
And so I personally think Hitchens and Dorian O'Daniel, especially O'Daniel, may be two of the biggest beneficiaries.
Agreed. I will say this too. And the nice thing about the 4-3 is that it's single gap responsibility. When he does have guards in his face trying to contact him, it's going to be off of combo blocks. They're not going to get free releases and come downhill.
That's the hope.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm very interested. I'm not really concerned about the front so much as I am the second level. I'm worried about the linebackers and I want to see what they try to do.
Right. And that's been such a problem for years that, I mean, I'm just genuinely curious what our linebackers look like when Bob Sutton's not the defensive coordinator. Because I really think that's been an issue with him for years. Outside of Derek Johnson, who was such a great player that I think he transcended issues with the defensive coordinator. You know, we were spoiled. Mm-hmm. And now we're kind of seeing how the other half lives. But I'm curious to see what it looks like without Sutton there. And again, it's easy to just blame the defensive coordinator for every problem. But I think inside linebacker especially is a place where they churned through tons of players and none of them looked good except DJ. And so hopefully that can solve things. But I do think even though the Chiefs could stand pat, the reality is if they structure a cut for post June 1st, they can cut Eric Berry. If they want to cut Justin Houston, they can cut Justin Houston. They can decide not to bring back D Ford and all of a sudden, like, you know, I mean, you know, they're sitting there with $70, $80 million in cap space. And they could do a complete overhaul. And hey, if they do that, fine. I mean, genuinely, because I'm at the point right now where, I mean, like you know, like if they cut Chris Jones, I'll freak out, obviously. But as much as I like Houston, and I think he played well last year, I understand. Huge price tag, I get it. With D Ford, as much as he played well last year, big price tag, I get it. Eric Berry, can't trust his health. I get that. And so if they decide to just completely try to start over fresh and try to just get the entire stink of a terrible defense off them, I won't be upset. I just, as long as there's a clear plan in place, like let's say they cut Justin Houston, I would be upset, but then they sign Anthony Barr on the first day of free agency. I'd be less upset because I see, not because I think Barr is as good a player, but because I see the plan.
Right. And there is a specific fit there in that particular scenario.
Correct. My biggest thing, just give me Earl Thomas or give me death. I'm kidding. I have no idea how much Earl Thomas will cost, and they've got some good safeties available. So I'm curious about how all this plays out, but I definitely do want to see some help at safety. I think Sorensen should be gone because, you know, even though you only save like $3 million or $3.5 million, you know what? $3.5 million in the first year of a big deal. That's a lot of money.
It can be a game changer.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is. Well, I think that's a good spot to end today, folks. We don't mean to leave you down, but these are the realities of this change. And we're going to go more in depth as the weeks go on, talk about these specific positions, you know, the Leo, the Sam. We'll get into all of that and try to lay it out for you a little bit more and what these transitions are going to be. Seth's writing about Mahomes this week. I'm guessing it's going to change next week.
I am right now. I'm just making my offseason plan. I'm figuring out when I'm going to start doing the really big film reviews. You know, there's a lot of players I want to review. I want to review 6 or 7 games of Derek Nnadi. I want to review 6 or 7 games of Eric Fisher. I want to review 6 or 7 games of Kendall Fuller. And so this, interestingly enough, the off season is where I go to work. This is where, like, you know, I might not be writing as often, but these are like the bigger articles. These are the big picture. What did this guy do? Articles. Justin Houston's one that I really want to look at because he's kind of a controversial player. And so there's a lot of guys I want to look at right now, Steven Nelson being one of them too. And so that's the direction that I'll be going. I don't know if I'll be writing my If I Were Brett Veach articles this year. I know Nate Taylor's going to be handling some of that. So we'll just kind of see how it rolls through.
So folks, keep an eye out for all of that because Seth and I are both gearing up for a big offseason. And you know me, I will have all of the Athletic Matrix measurements, metrics, analysis out for you as well. I won't necessarily write more, but you'll see more video. Seth will have the huge reviews up. We are going to dig in deep, especially with this transition. I'm guessing there's going to be a lot more on the defense than maybe there was a year ago. So keep your eyes peeled. Thank you for all of your time and listening to us over and over and over. And we'll have more for you later in the week. Seth and I will either go head-to-head again or try not to agree all the time and see if Chris can spice it up. So thank you all for your time today. We thank you for everything you've been doing, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.